And we have right now with us at PNPnetwork.com and all our radio stations around the country, thrilled to have Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick with us. Hi, Rick.
Good morning, Mark.
How are you?
Real good.
You know, it's great to hear your music every week because of the That 70s Show on Fox.
Yeah, well, we get played on there, and then we still get played on a lot of stations. I wish we had a hit on a new station, but we'll take anything we can get.
And it doesn't make a difference if it's new or old, as long as it gets played, right?
That's right.
Yeah. But you guys, it's hard to believe how long you guys have been together.
It's ridiculous. And plus, we got a lot of our big start came actually in the Boston area, thanks to Lenny Collins and I think BCN, and lots of people were playing us before anybody else in the States really was.
Really?
That's right.
The Rock of Boston, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now they have Howard Stern in the morning.
Well, I like Howard, too. He likes Cheap Trick.
Do you remember Charles Lacordaire?
He
was the morning guy on BCN for years and years, did a show called The Big Mattress.
No, because I didn't live there, I'd never really...
Well, he just retired, so... You know, time flies for all of us rock and rollers.
Yeah, well, I still like music, so... There you go.
Tell me, where are you from originally?
Chicago area.
And music, was it in your family blood?
Oh, yeah. Both my parents were opera singers.
Oh.
And they didn't just do opera. They sang. They did a lot of religious stuff, too. Both my grandfathers were ministers, so I was around church and music my whole life. Although Cheap Trick's not very churchy, but... around music my whole life.
You have to diversify anyway, right?
Yeah, you know, we can't all just sing out of the hymnal.
What was the first instrument you took up?
I recall pictures of when I was about 4 years old playing a ukulele, but I was also wearing a black cowboy outfit, too.
So ukulele
was
first.
I didn't join the village people,
Yeah. How many instruments did you take up? I know you played drums when you were a kid, too.
Yeah,
right?
I played drums. Actually, drums were the only things I actually took any lessons on. Now I don't play drums at all, but I can play a drum machine real well.
Yeah.
And I play piano, and I can play a few different wind instruments, too.
And, of course, the guitar.
Yeah.
And the bass.
Yeah, that's what I do best.
Exactly. And the bass, too.
Yeah, I can play bass, yeah.
I know you did that for a while when you guys had no bass player.
Well, I played bass on... I played bass on some of our, actually, only one of our records. It was a record called One, no, not One. I played a little bit on One on One, and I also played a little bit on All Shook Up, the George Martin album.
Yeah. I understand that at one point that you played with John Lennon.
Yes, sir.
What was that like?
August 12th, 1980. Bunny and I actually played on the Double Fantasy sessions. And we were on, when the John Lennon anthology came out last year or the year before, whatever it was, they actually had the original tracks, the ones that we had done with Jack Douglas and John Lennon and Yoko.
Yeah, it was on the Lost Lennon tapes, I think it was called?
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Wow. And actually, we did a video, too. Tony Levin, Bunny, and myself did a videotape with Dean Carr, who's done all kinds of Coolios and all... Iron Maidens, and he's the guy that did the AC/DC, the new AC/DC cover, and did a video with him for the Lennon thing, too.
Wow. Was that, like, completely unbelievable and serious?
Well, yeah, actually, we asked John Lennon to produce our first album, and at the time, he wasn't doing anything, and then when I worked with him, I said, well, we asked, if you would... produce our first album. He says, I would have done it. Ah! but our manager said, our manager and his manager said it wouldn't happen, so we killed both our managers.
Talking about that, I mean, you worked with John in 80, and he didn't live much longer than that.
No, it was August, and he just died in December.
Yeah, what was your reaction when you heard that news?
Well, I was in Minneapolis, and it was like, it was Monday Night Football, I think it was on, and I was going into a club, and it all came on. I think it was Howard Cosell came on.
Yeah.
And then, oh man! And so then you start making calls. Is this true? Because I knew Jack Douglas. Yeah, actually, I worked. Or Cheap Trick just worked with Jack. this past Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Hmm.
A week ago, we were with him.
Well, you mentioned George Martin, too, and of course, he was a producer for the Beatles as well,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I work with him. If you go to the Rolling Stone website and look under Cheap Trick and dig under the photo archives, you can see George and myself. I was the MC at the making of Sgt. Pepper's when he came to Chicago, and I got to be the host and sit up there on stage with him and field questions, and I acted like I was important for about a half an hour.
You also had some very interesting producers in your career too. I know Todd Rundgren produced.
Yeah, I saw him. He was on. Was he on Conan last night?
Oh, I don't stay up that late.
He was on Conan last night. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, what did he do?
I think he's doing that. The song where I hate my ISP or something.
Oh, the computer song he wrote.
Computer. Yeah.
Yeah. He's really into computers, though.
Oh, he was back then, too. When we worked with him in the mid-80s, and we'd work from about noon till 6, and then we'd work noon till 6, and right at 6, we'd stop, and he'd go up and he'd go up to his house, and he had a big, huge dish, and he'd be on his computer and hacking and whacking away up there.
Yeah, the only one I can think of.
So then the band, we had 18 hours of mayhem and 6 hours of discipline.
The only one I can think of that did the computers more than him in music was probably David Bowie, who has his own website and his own ISP and everything else.
Yeah.
He's really into it.
Yeah. I think David Bowie made more money off it.
I think he's probably one of the only ones that ever made money on the Internet. Most people lose it. You know, what do you think about the MP3 controversy and all the stuff on the Internet?
Well, I think if you give your stuff, you know, because we've given away MP3s, and I think it's fine. I think it's fine when if you're the giver and you're the artist and you're the giver, but when say you've got somebody that you don't or I don't know or you don't know, and it's got naked pictures of you and says, you know, it's funny if they want to hand it out to your friends or people that you know, but then when you just say, hey, anybody in the world that wants to see naked pictures of you, Mark, you can have them, you'd be incensed.
No, I'd be thrilled, actually.
Yeah, well, maybe you would.
Good advertising, you know.
Yeah. But for most people, you know, it's like, you know, if you have somebody over your house and then you play them, say one guy runs a video and you got 50 people over watching it, you know, it's like, hey, well, you know, then it's you have to help clean up the mess when everybody leaves, and hopefully they brought some beer, so you don't have to, so you didn't buy it for everybody. But this, you know, you're giving away to people you don't know. You could be giving away to Charles Manson and John Wayne Gacy. You know,
yeah,
just to name a few bad guys.
But I mean,
you're not doing it. You're not giving it to people you know.
But talking about music, though, you know, you've written a lot of these songs that are huge hits, so you make royalties. Do you think that this MP3 thing could hurt royalties in the future?
Well, you know, if you're giving away one song, you know, then people say, gee, if they like that song, maybe they go out and buy your record or CD or whatever, and so they could have more of your songs. But I mean, if somebody just gives away all your stuff, I mean, that's ridiculous. I think
it's heading that way. I mean, listen, the people are giving away songs. What's to prevent them to start giving away the whole side, you know, and then the whole...
Well, no, you can give it... I don't care. You know, if somebody wants to give it away, great. But if you don't, why should somebody who doesn't really own the property... I mean, they own a copy of it, and I think, you know, I don't think that's wrong.
I mean, Metallica stood up and said, I don't like this.
Yes, correct.
And it took them...
They've given away stuff.
Yeah.
And then they've donated stuff to causes and this and that, but when somebody else takes it and just gives it away willy-nilly, I mean, that's like giving away going into your bank account. Here. Do you want your bank account to be known to everybody in the world and let anybody come in and take what they want? If you're giving away stuff, does that mean I can go to your house, the person that's giving away my stuff, I can come over to your place and go in the refrigerator and take what I want and wear your clothes, take your shirt?
Yeah.
You're taking the shirt off of somebody's back.
Exactly. Yeah. You guys have your own label now, right?
Yeah.
How's that doing?
Fine, because we give away stuff. And we sell stuff, too.
and folks, if they want to listen to the interview right now and they want to buy your stuff, do you have like all your albums on your own website and
stuff?
Yeah, like
if you go to www.cheaptrick.com.
Mm-hmm.
CheapTrick.com. It's real easy.
And everything is all there?
Everything is there, or, you know, you can scroll around to find the stuff. It's really pretty easy.
Mm.
And we've updated ours more than once.
You guys have had some bad business moves, for instance, the Red Ant Alliance that you guys had there.
Yeah, well, we meant well, but the you know, our record comes out and the company goes bankrupt. Do you think we planned that?
Yeah, I don't
think
so.
I don't think they planned it either.
No. No, it's really, a lot of it is luck, though, isn't it? Timing.
Well, of course, hard work and luck. But yeah. What we're doing is we're trying to get the record back. I mean, the worst part about it is it's not for sale. You can't get it, and we don't have it either.
It's lost.
So, but we're trying to get that back right now. We're also trying to get Woke Up with a Monster, the one we did for Warner Brothers, trying to get that back and put that under our own label.
It'd be kind of great if you can do that, because I'm sure there's some stuff on there that will do well.
Yeah.
You know, some of the songs you've done are just so huge, it must just amaze you. I mean, for instance, Surrender, which was on a couple of movies,
yeah,
became like an anthem for a lot of the kids.
Well, yeah, and actually there's, I mean, if you search around on the internet, I mean, there's I've got a version of Green Day doing Surrender, and let's see, the band Extreme. I have a video of them doing that at Budokan.
Wow.
And Anthrax, I know they were playing some of our stuff too.
What do you think when you hear some of those
things? I think
things?
It's cool.
Yeah?
You know, sometimes the bands are doing it better than we do.
Well, you know, anytime anybody else records your music and you wrote it, you still make money on it too, right? So.
Theoretically.
Yeah, theoretically is right.
I mean, a band from out your way, Letters to Cleo.
Mm-hmm.
They did I Want You to Want Me in that movie, 10 Things I Hate About You.
Mm-hmm.
They did a cool version of it, too.
So that made you a couple bucks?
I heard so, but
I checked
my mailbox.
You mentioned it, Budokan, and that, of course, sold over 3.5 million in America alone.
Yeah,
just that was
alone.
Amazing.
Sold over a million in Canada. It sold out all over the place.
That's amazing. I understand.
I mean, I don't even know that many people.
I mean, it's amazing. This is 20 years ago now, and
yeah, it still sells. Though,
it's still selling. I want to know what were 21 years ago, 1979. You guys really weren't aware of the international fame you had. What happened in Japan? Tell me about that.
Well, actually, that was 78 when we were there.
Was it 78?
Yeah, the record came out in 79.
Okay.
So, you know, they liked us. We had hit singles there. We hadn't really had much airplay here, and that record was only going to be released live to our Japanese fans, but. You know, the live record is more like we are, you know, than the studio stuff. So,
yeah, but I understand that I heard a story that you guys went to Japan, and you almost freaked out when you heard them screaming so much.
Oh yeah,
that you guys left all your equipment and kind of ran away.
Well,
that was the rumor.
Yeah, that's a good story. I think nobody was screaming at our equipment, so I think our crew took the equipment, got it safely wherever it was. But yeah, it was like those old. Footage of the, like, Beatlemania or Ricky Martin mania or NSYNC mania, like people were chasing us and going wild. It was frightening.
Can you believe the numbers of records that groups like NSYNC and Britney Spears and people like that are selling at this point, like in a week?
Well, it's every girl's got to get it. You know, you don't want to be the only girl in your class that doesn't have the latest record, so you know, it's not like country records or rapper records where, you know, it's like it's over a long period of time. It's like you gotta get it now. It's like I remember, like when the Beatle records came out. I mean, I wanted to be the first one to get it.
Me too. Even
first
when the Monkees
on my block, I always did too.
I remember when the Monkees came out. I was the first one to get that too.
Oh well, I won't go there.
Hey, back then, you know, 1966, it was kind of cool.
Okay, whatever you say.
At least it was cool for me, anyway.
Okay, Mark.
Yeah. I still like the Monkees. Actually, when I talked to them, I was all excited about it, so.
Yeah, I've known those guys. Plus, I did a TV show with Mickey Dolenz, too.
Mm.
Big hit for me.
Yeah. Well,
Boy Meets World, we were both on there at the same time.
You were mentioning that that you're trying to get possession of some of these old ones to re-release. Are you working on some new stuff as well?
Oh, yeah, that's what we were doing with Jack Douglas, and also working with him and Steve Albini on some new material. Plus, we have some other things coming out this year. If you go to our website, you'll start to see some of it creep up in the next month or so.
Easy to find, folks, is cheaptrick.com. And Rick Nielsen has been our guest today at PNPnetwork.com. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and wish you lots of luck. And thank you also for the great times we've had listening to music.
Hey, sorry I was late calling you, but better late than never.
Hey, it wasn't your problem at all.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. Thanks so much for calling.
See you, Mark.
Take care.